Welcome to the 2021 AFL Premiership season on AFL Nation.
Pulls it into the pocket. Cameron wants it. Cameron gets it.
To Silwood, standing start. Lash the ball toward the goal. Oh, that's a moment of inspiration from the skipper.
Charlie comes up brandishing. He doubles back from left to right and kicks one of the goals of the season.
50 from goal. Kept it alive. 48 from goal. Goes with the banana. It'll be the miracle. Oh,
Martin's got it. He scored. He shoots. It's the stuff of legend.
Welcome to AFL Nation.
Good afternoon and welcome to AFL Nation on a day of deep significance and meaning where we honour and reflect on the brave men and women who selflessly and courageously served in wars and conflicts, peacekeeping missions around the world, who endured and still endure the horrors and hardships of that service. And we thank them for the sacrifices they made, many the ultimate sacrifice, so we might enjoy many of the freedoms we hold dear today in the hope we may never experience those horrors again. The Anzac spirit forged on this day in 1915 on the beaches of Gallipoli when Australia and New Zealand soldiers entered into war for the first time in our country's fledgling existence. And it lives on in the soldiers that continue to serve with honour and integrity today. We are eternally grateful to them and you for your service. So many of us have personal connections to this day and we play our part in marking it and observing it, and footy is no different. Three games today, Hawthorn at Adelaide, Port Adelaide and St Kilda bookend the traditional Anzac Day clash between Collingwood and Essendon that since 1995 has played an integral role in reconnecting younger generations to the importance of this day and the history and tradition behind it, lest we forget. Sam Hargraves here, joined by Jordan Canellis, Liam Pickering as well, our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles, Choose Beaumont, and for Hard Yakka as well. Good afternoon to you, Picks, and how's your morning been?
Good afternoon, Sammy, and good afternoon to everyone who's listening and to you, Zipper, as well, when we get to you. But, yeah, it's been a pretty quiet morning, I must say, but it's a special day and great introduction by you. Well done.
Jordan, hello. Services this morning, did you get down to one? Were you out and about?
No, I wasn't able to, but you sort of feel on the day, you do feel the, there is that solemn feeling in the morning and just seeing the images around the restricted nature of the world we still yet live in, and not many people obviously allowed to the shrine, but they encouraged everyone to have driveway vigils, which I thought was a nice little touch that we can still connect that way in the community, but it certainly does. You do get that feeling on the morning, and Anzac Day, well, the footy is another part of it. It's a secondary part of it, of course, but it's part that we love.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't assume for a moment to overstate the role that football plays today, but Pix, it has done exactly that, hasn't it? And it's in various forms. There's been games on Anzac Day in 1960. An Act of Parliament lifted the restrictions in 62 and 67. They had Vic versus a state all-star games. 1975, Carlton Essendon, 86, they had double headers at the G, D's and Swans, Roos and Cats, and it wasn't until Kevin Sheedy had the idea that we need to find a way to really tap in to what this day is all about and pay respects to those who have served. He got the RSL on side, which up until that point they had not been a fan of games being played on this day, and then we got it all started in 1995 with that draw and the legacy of it and the traditions that it's instilled in footy, but also that reconnection of people who maybe weren't aware and had gone away and lost a connection to it. It's helped re-establish that.
It has, and exactly right, Sammy, is that it's an educational thing as much as anything because of the build-up and because of what's written about and spoken about. And footy's played a small part in that. I've got no doubt about that in my mind. And well done to Kevin Sheedy, who was the one that the brainchild, if you like, from an AFL perspective. And I think the supporters, just to be there, and I've been to a number of Anzac Day big games, Collingwood, Essendon, and it's a special day.
Last night, with the lights off and the lights of the phones around the MCG, the flame burning, the last post in the crisp Melbourne night, and the teams lined up in honour, it was spine-tingling, and it'll be even more so today. So Jerry Waitley and BP and Justin Leppich, Kate Mead, will be there to take you through that one a little later on today. And you mentioned the education. Dan, I set my alarm for the PM. The old AM PM picks.
Gee, that didn't get you, did it?
The AM PM got me. So I was able to get to a 9 o'clock service where I live. And to see the amount of families with kids and parents there, just like whispering and this is what this is and teaching and and the speeches made from people who had served and the school captains of the local school. And it was just, really special. And well done to everybody who has helped facilitate what's happened today. Should we get into some footy? The round so far, geez, hasn't it thrown up some incredible performances, some surprise results, especially yesterday, picks. The round so far for Renault Traffic Van, keep your business moving. You would have had eyes locked on the Cats. And in fairness to Geelong, we know how good a side they are, and we know that they haven't probably had the personnel they've wanted at certain times to play maybe the way they've wanted. We've been just crying out for Geelong to maybe step into this year's style of footy, and didn't they do exactly that yesterday? They'd sort of been boring us a little bit in the previous rounds. Well, yesterday was emphatic in its dominance, and it says as much about them as it does about West Coast. But how did you see it?
Well, I thought it was fantastic by the Cats. It was a round of challenges, really. The challenges were laid down to Geelong because they'd been less than impressive in the first five rounds. And at quarter time, they were being challenged. They were a goal down, and then to put a 10-0 second quarter in play, and then another 6-1 in the third quarter. And put an exclamation mark on that game. And then you look at the other scenario and you look at the big challenge last night. Are they the real deal, Melbourne? And they come up against the reigning premier, the best team in the competition, on a big stage in front of a big crowd on a big night. And they put in a big, big performance. It was fantastic to see.
And
not only that, even Brisbane.
Yep.
Even Brisbane had their challenges yesterday. I know the Blues contributed a little bit with their own sort of poor play at times, but they had some injuries, they had players off, they had wounded soldiers, if you like, and all of a sudden they've got themselves a 3-goal win. You know, it wasn't easy for them to win by 3 goals yesterday, in my view.
No, so the results from yesterday, Geelong by 97 points, 21-10. I think that's the, off the top of my head, I reckon that's the second or third best score, high score for the year, to 5-9-39. The Eagles were just deplorable in the way that they played. They haven't won in Victoria against Geelong for the last 8 times, and that's the 9th.
They've won once this century. They've won once since the turn of the century. So in 21 years, they've won there once.
05 or something, wasn't it?
2006. Yeah. And even that day, they were down by 9 goals. And they got home and won by a kick.
So the Cats by 97, the Suns by 40 over the Swans, the Lions by 18, and last night 34 to the Melbourne. But let's start with Geelong and West Coast. The biggest ever loss, Jordan, under Adam Simpson. And they are...
They're flat track bullies.
They hate that tag. They hate that people say we can't win away because they point to 2018. But since then, their record is not great travelling away from home. They'll touch up anyone that steps foot on their own turf more often than not. But that was a game that needed to be won. Geelong were vulnerable.
Very vulnerable.
And West Coast were just nowhere.
These two sides are probably the two biggest, and I don't mean to say it disparagingly, but they probably are the two biggest flat track bullies. Geelong have won all 4 of their games at home. Some of those home games have been at the MCG, but especially at Cadinia Park, they rarely get knocked off there. And West Coast, likewise, they are immense. They look like the best team in the competition when they play at Optus Stadium. And as soon as they leave that ground, they can be competitive, as we saw against the Dogs a couple of weeks ago at Marvel. But aside from that, they just look so much weaker. And there was just no effort at all from the Eagles. They was on their heels. There was no pressure to the ball carrier. The things that they do so well in how watertight they are in defence was completely out the window yesterday.
This is the second time in 2 visits for the West Coast Eagles. They've got themselves in a good position early in a match. They were in a good position yesterday at quarter time.
It was a decent first quarter.
And completely fallen away. They did it against St Kilda. They're up by 5 goals, weren't they?
Yeah, they
lost by 5.
They were up by, I think it was, I did that game, and was it 30?
Up by 35, I think.
30, yeah, around 30, yeah, so mid-30s.
They're up by 6, they lose by 20 points.
Halfway through the third quarter.
So, they just, when they get challenged away from home, they don't respond. Don't respond, and they got challenged early yesterday in the second quarter, and they dead set started, they were pathetic, really.
They're a bit like the kid that always has to go home from the sleepover.
What does that even mean?
Well, they're no good outside their own bed. They just have to be in their own bed. They get to the sleepover and then...
Are you calling the West Coast Eagles bedwetters? You're not calling them that, I hope. Come on, that's disrespectful.
Then they got to call their parents. They've got to come and pick them up and take them home. And when they get home, they're fine.
They've got too much talent to be beaten by 100 points by anybody, anywhere. Let's be honest.
Some of the errors they were making in defence as well, they were comical bumbling errors on their own last line, that they were just coughing up possession, turning the ball over. I mean, this was...
You know what I saw yesterday? This made me laugh. The game was on and I was having a flick through Twitter just to see what the reaction was. And Tim Gossage went in to bat for the Fox commentary team. He said, come on, West Coast Eagles fans. We're all hurt. You know, well, he's not an East Coast fan. He's a St Kilda fan. But Western Australian man. He said, it's not that the commentators aren't the reason the West Coast are getting beaten by 15 goals here. It's not the commentators' fault.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
They're calling it as they see it.
Yeah.
So there was must have been a bit of cry of bias towards Jordan Lewis, who didn't play for Geelong, and Jonathan Brown, who didn't play for Geelong either, by the way, and Mark Howard, who barracks for Hawthorn. So I got no idea what they were thinking.
No, the commentators don't cause a 97-point defeat. And Jeremy McGovern obviously leaving that game early, but as good as Jeremy McGovern is, he's not 98 points worth that you win the game.
No, that's exactly right. And they were getting well beaten when he went off too, by the way.
I suppose the all eyes on Jeremy Cameron. He kicks three on the, and their forward line looked incredibly potent. Hawke and Rowan started off really well.
It makes a bit of a difference when the ball's getting pinged in there pretty quickly.
Oh, of course.
They went in 16 times for 10 goals in the second quarter.
And we haven't seen Geelong play that way all year, which has been, we've been crying out for it. And they put Jeremy Cameron in, Mitch Duncan back in the side. So, I mean, we talk about underrated players. I wonder whether this guy's going to get his full credit by the time his career's done. But he was phenomenal. 26 disposals, kicked four goals, and he's everyone's new favourite player because he's taught from outside 50.
Yep.
Was just a throwback. It was everything great about footy. There wouldn't have been a person that saw it, no matter who you barrack for, maybe West Coast. But even then, you would look at that and just go, how good was that?
I actually thought it was touched. The umpire called it touched.
And so blanket picks.
I went outside and thought, it's a 9-goal zip quarter. What a great quarter. I went out and I come back and I looked at my match day app.
Phone.
Thinking they have got the phone, on the AFL app.
Yeah.
Yes, he's paid that a goal. What's happened? And then I was talking to a couple of mates later on. They said, no, he didn't touch that. And I said, well, my eyes must be playing up because it looked touched to me.
There is nothing better than when a player kicks a torp on the siren heading into a break. I mean, Paul Seedsman did it, I think, 2 years ago.
Yep.
It's that elevator that gets the crowd up, it gets the team up as well. And it's just a nice little way to end the quarter, isn't it?
If you saw Mitch Duncan's face beforehand, he had a smile on his face before he kicked it. He's thinking, I'll give it a go. I'll give it a go. I'm not going to kick it.
Now, he
nailed it.
We saw this a couple of years ago when Paul Seedsman bombed one and it wasn't even in the goals of the week. Can I just put in a request to those who make the call for the goals of the week nominations that go into the goal of the year nomination? You must have this in.
Yep. This will be in this week.
Has to be.
Well, Seedsman wasn't.
Of what we've seen so far, I can't think of too many better goals this round.
Well, there
round.
Wasn't any better goals that round and he missed out. So I'm just bringing it up.
I can't go all the way back to when you were talking. I don't even know when that was. I've got no idea what year it was, who he was playing for. Was he at Collingwood or was he at Adelaide? Where was he?
He was at Adelaide. It was a couple of years ago. He latched on to one that was just beautiful.
There'll be other goals kicked today.
No, and I don't care, but that has to be in there. It has to be.
So it depends on, doesn't matter what happens for the rest of the round. There's another three games
don't care,
today.
Pickers.
That's
going to
be Mitch Duncan's goal of the
day. It can't not be in there. It can't not be.
Well, it'll probably be in the noms, but there might be a better goal kicked today.
I don't care.
20 minutes. Are you saying you want it to win the goal of the week or be nominated?
It wins goal of the week.
You can't just...
No, it does. It absolutely does.
You just can't give him goal of the week.
I won't hear another word on it.
Oh, okay. So
a goal that went to the arc and had 5 minutes of deliberation.
Yeah,
well, of course it does. But the moment it was called a goal, you don't bother going up to the arc because it can't overturn it anyway. The technology's not good enough. But that's a conversation for another day.
His umpire's call was a point.
Did he call it touch, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then maybe I wasn't paying enough attention.
So you weren't paying enough attention.
I was too excited.
You've got all caught up in the torpedo and your idea of it's already the goal of the week.
Monster barrel. And if it's not goal of the week, then heads need to roll who make that decision. I've never called for someone to be sacked in my life because I'm not that type of terrible human.
Who's our goal of the day sponsor here? Because it's a waste of time. let's get some credits out of the way now because it's a waste of time.
We will. Hey, you can get involved all day on the social feedback for Summit Internet, faster business internet at AFL Nation on Twitter. As we go into the break, just a quick look at the ladder. If you've got that one up there, JK, for the ladder for 40 Winks, get 40 months interest free at the 40 Winks 40 hour sale.
Undefeated on top, 6-0, the Western Bulldogs and Melbourne, 25% separates the Dogs from the D's. So Port Adelaide sit in third, Geelong are in the top four after that win yesterday. Sydney, Freo, a sixth. Richmond and Brisbane round out the top eight, while in the bottom four, as we head down there, the two teams on the Anzac Day clash today, Essendon and Collingwood. Hawthorn are also 1-4 with their game to come, and North Melbourne 0-6 for the first time, I think, since 75 they've been 0-6.
So it wasn't an easy day for the tipsters yesterday, but it's not too late to join the Ream AFL Tipping League at tipping.sen.com.au and win big weekly and grand prizes. And before we head off and come back on the other side, a shout out for Australian Made. Win Australian products. Join the Aussie Made Club. We'll be back on the other side of this AFL Nation. We're just gearing up to the first of the trip header on this Anzac Day. It's Hawthorn Adelaide from Tasmania. Sam Hargraves, Jordan Cannells, Liam Pickering on AFL Nation.
A sports news update for Rold. Family made Vietnamese served fast and fresh.
Hi, it's Judd Boaz checking other sport. In the NBL, Melbourne United have stormed home against the Adelaide 36ers 92-78, recording a franchise record 9th win in a row. Meanwhile, the Sydney Kings won an overtime thriller against the Illawarra Hawks 79-75, with former Fremantle Docker Craig Moller sinking a 3 in the dying moments to seal the game. In the NRL, the Canterbury Bulldogs broke their losing streak with an 18-12 win over Cronulla, while the Cowboys edged the Canberra Raiders 26-24. In the A-League, Sydney FC came back from 2 goals down to salvage a draw against the Central Coast Mariners 2-2, while competition leaders Melbourne City were held to a 1-1 draw by MacArthur. City have a 1-point lead over Central Coast with a game in hand. That's the latest sport for Rolled. Fast, fresh, Vietnamese.
You're listening to AFL Nation. For Beaumont Tiles, choose Beaumont Tiles for 28% off floor tiles. Australia's best.
Collingwood Essendon and then Port Adelaide St Kilda, the three games for this triple header on your Anzac Day on AFL Nation, the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont, and for Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends. Sam Hargraves, Jordan Cannellis, Liam Pickering. Pickers, just quickly in a minute or so, everybody who's anybody was saying they'll reserve their judgment on Melbourne and their bona fides this year until they have taken on the reigning back-to-back premiers in Richmond. Well, last night they did. They absorbed everything that the Tigers could throw at them in the first 10 minutes, and they came away with a 34-point win. Salem brought his own ball. Petrarca was huge, and they are undefeated, and they take a big scalp.
It was fantastic. You know, they've answered the critics or the questions that were asked of them, and they answered it with aplomb. They were superb last night. I really thought they were the most impressive of all the round winners. And I know the Bulldogs had a great finish against the Giants, big last quarter, but no, I just thought their all-round game last night was on a big stage, a game that they would in other years lose, you know, with a bit of pressure on them, you know, if they'd gone in 3-2 or whatever it may be. But they went in with all the pressure and they came through with flying colours. They were superb last night. Really well done.
Dusty Martin left the ground with concussion, and you'd think that he would now miss the game with the Bulldogs next week, which is a massive story. But
That'll be a big game again. Richmond haven't got any easy ones. They've got the Cats coming up in a couple of weeks too.
They're 3-3 now on the year. But we know that they're not an April, May side. They're an August, September side.
Well, that's exactly right. They'll win enough games
to get this has happened to them before. Yeah. This has happened to them before.
But it hasn't happened to Melbourne. Six zip start, first time, I don't know when the last time they won six in a row.
1965.
You heard me say six zip, and then you thought I was asking you because you're zipper. Right, I get you. I get it now. I see what you've just done there.
Well, is the response from Melbourne to keep a lid on this just as important as the win itself? Do they need to make sure they don't get any further ahead?
Oh, I wouldn't be keeping a lid on anything. I'm dead serious.
Rip it off, D's fans.
Why do we always want to put a lid on everything? Now, these guys,
they've been accused of getting ahead of themselves before.
Yeah, I don't think this group are anything like that. I honestly don't. I think this group are like that at all. I think they're a group of players that are hungry, they're well-led, they've got a good skipper, they've got a good leadership group, and they're playing hungry, aggressive footy, and I'd keep it rolling. I'd embrace every bit of it.
You've got some news about North Melbourne.
Yeah, in the last half hour or so, through Damien Ratcliffe at The Age, who reports that North Melbourne players will be forced into 14 days of home isolation and tested for COVID-19 under Victorian government protocols when they return from Perth early today. The players will be given exemptions to train and play within that two-week period. And so next weekend's clash in Tassie will go ahead against the Demons as scheduled. So that's for North Melbourne. I said 1975. 1972 was the last time they went 0-6.
6-0.
We've got to come back in just a moment. We've got to come back in just a moment. So, Pickers, just quickly, some key matchups for Key Money Solutions.
Yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to the Tex Walker, Taylor Walker, Kyle Hardigan, I think, will be his opponent today. His former teammate.
Yep.
They would have had a million battles in the, on the practice ground. You know, when they're having their training runs, and I think Kyle Hardigan will really relish the challenge.
That's all for Key Money Solutions. Crystal ball prediction for Thirsty Camel. Thirsty at home, alcohol delivered ASAP. Thirstycamel.com.au.
I think the game. I think Hawthorn will win. I think that this is their perfect home away from home. And as well as Adelaide have started this year, I think they'll stumble today, and I do think the Hawks might win.
Both teams have completed their warm-up for Ream, install a Ream, Australia's favourite in hot water. As we go through the formalities, the unmissable moment are the pre-game and how it is done at the ground by everyone involved to commemorate what this day means and what this occasion is for Drink Wise. Choose to drink wise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. Weather in Tassie, we'll get from you, please, Jordan Canellis, for Fujitsu, Australia's favourite air.
16 degrees in Tassie, partly cloudy, no real chance of rain though, and it'll stay around 17, 18 degrees throughout the day.
Experience year-round comfort with Fujitsu, Australia's favourite air. The final word from Liam Pickering, our expert for car sales. Spot value with price indicators on car sales.
Yeah, look, the start will be critical in this game. If the Hawks start well, I think they'll be too strong. The Crows, on the other hand, if they can control the ball early in the match, they can be in it for a hell of a long time.
That was our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont 10 for Hard Yakka, a new breed of legends. The opening bounce for Hawthorn and Adelaide will be straight after this on AFL Nation.
You're listening to AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont Tiles for 28% off floor tiles. Australia's best.